Please turn with me to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. And we're reading verses 9 to 13. If you look at verse 8, which is the verse just before the passage we're about to read, you find that the righteous is delivered out of trouble and the wicked cometh in his stead. And then verse 9, continuing that thought but going in the opposite direction, speaks of the hypocrite and then the just. Speaking of deliverance, deliverance for the just. We saw that in verse 8 and now we're seeing it in verse 9. Deliverance for who? Well, the deliverance is for the community of God's people, referred to here as the city. Verses 9 to 13. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The precious word of the living and the true God. As we begin to look at these proverbs, we begin to see something of the community of God's people. And the community of God's people is very important because there are people that are within the range of fire when we use our mouth. That's what verse 9 is talking about. It's talking about the damage that the mouth can do. Notice that the person who destroys, destroys with his mouth. And hypocrite, it says, with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. The hypocrite, it's a word that has to do with a godless person. We think of many examples in the scripture. But he's able to destroy someone, not just anyone, but someone who's close by. Back in the time in which this proverb was written, people trusted their neighbors. People relied upon their neighbors to help them. If there was danger on your property, your neighbor came along and let you know. You didn't just call 911. You relied upon your neighbors. It was a trusted person, you see. You needed to have good neighbors. But a hypocrite, someone who is not working in line with the community that God has formed around him or her, destroys with their mouth. And that's important. That's important because we need to realize that there is a way in which we are being led away from the pattern of destruction, the pattern of destruction that is part of this fallen world, a pattern of destruction that is part of the heritage of those who are standing against the living God, who are standing against the one who will judge them, just as we saw in Psalm 82. Those who destroy with their mouths are going to perish in this passage. They're going to be overthrown. They are going to experience the joy of other people seeing them go down. So it's important that we look down the road and we see past our neighbor and the tendency that we have to destroy. What is it that preserves those who stand in the midst of such damage, those who would seek to destroy? Well, it's a wisdom word. It's a word that's been used before in the book of Proverbs. Knowledge. Knowledge is the means by which, verse 9 tells us, the just are delivered. We're delivered through wisdom that comes from God. We're delivered through knowledge that comes from God. And of course, in the New Testament, we have this knowledge expressed to us even more clearly. It's the saving power of God through Jesus Christ. It's the presence of the Spirit in the midst of God's people that preserves and guards. Did you know that in the midst of the assembly of God's people, there are those who have hypocrisy and those who would seek to destroy with their mouths? But there's a way that we are led in the midst of God's people to be delivered. That's an important thing for us to recognize, that God is actually forming in our midst deliverance through knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 goes on to speak of the way in which the city is led to see this pattern play out. And it's played out in a way that displays the great victory of those who are on God's side, those who are called the righteous. We saw in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ led riding down the streets of Jerusalem on an animal that no one else had ever ridden. No one else ever sat on that animal before, except the Son of Man, except the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. And he's coming down the streets, and people begin to shout. People begin to wave palm branches. People begin to celebrate. They don't actually know everything that they're celebrating. But already we're seeing the fulfillment of this. Of course, that's before Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross because there is a greater city. A greater city that is leading us towards. Are we part of that city? Are we part of that city, and how do we know? How do we know that we're part of the city of God, God's people, the city that has foundations, whose builder is God? How do we know that we're part of the city that is to come? The city that's been won through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, partly, it involves seeing the pattern that's given to us in verses 10 and 11. The pattern that's given to us in showing us what happens as the city becomes the community of God's people. Verse 10 tells us about the city rejoicing. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. You can see the parallel here, don't you? The righteous are actually experiencing the benefits of God's deliverance, and there is rejoicing. And the wicked are perishing, and there is shouting. This is echoing language that we have in the Psalms in various places. There's actually language in Psalm 118, verse 15, that says, "The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." People are rejoicing because the Lord is saving with his right hand. There's also connected to it a confession of praise in Psalm 35, verse 27, where it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." When there is true joy because of God's deliverance, there's praise. There's a recognition that it's the Lord who has done it. That's what brings the joy. That's what brings the knowledge of the Lord's deliverance. You see, it's important that we realize that. There have been times in history when wicked rulers have gone down and people rejoiced. In Rome, it was the death of Nero. One man reminds us that in the French Revolution, it was the death of Robespierre. And there was shouting. We were meant to see something bigger in the midst of such deliverances. We're meant to see something that shows us the saving power of God. Something that was described for us in Acts 2 as Peter preached the meaning of Pentecost, the meaning of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It meant that the Father and the Son had poured out the Spirit from heaven to bring a deliverance through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 speaks of the blessing of the upright. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. It's pretty clear, if we remember verse 10, that it is the blessing that comes about from God. But there's also a contrast between the blessing of the upright, those who are blessed, and the overthrow of the city by the mouth of the wicked. There are ways that a city can be lifted up, and there are ways that a city can be brought down. And lo and behold, what we find in verse 11 is that it's by the same means that we started with in verse 9. The mouth. The mouth of the wicked can actually cause a city to go down. Suddenly we're in a realm of speech that is very sobering to us. Begins to unpack for us the weight of our words. What it is that we say. If it is a wicked word coming from a mouth that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, there is the possibility of destruction, of a city being overthrown. What does that look like? What does that look like in everyday life? Well, verses 12 and 13 give us two categories. Despising one's neighbor in verse 12, and revealing secrets as a talebearer in verse 13. What I want us to see is that this has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has gone through the penalty of having experienced this sort of treatment so that we might be a new community. So that we might be the opposite of the wicked in these verses. Listen carefully to what verse 12 is saying. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Again, we're talking about someone who's very close. We're talking about someone who is a neighbor. We're talking about someone that the law says we're supposed to love. Jesus accents it, talks about loving our neighbors. But what does the person who is void of wisdom do? He despises his neighbor. He shows contempt to one who is his neighbor. Man of understanding, completely different. There are certain situations in a community of God's people, where you know something about someone. You know something about their life. You know something about their words. You know something about their character. You know something about their activities. And the temptation sometimes is to fall into this trap of seeing ourselves as individuals in comparison to someone else. The hypocrite, in verse 9, destroys his neighbor with words, with his mouth. But in verse 11, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. The way that words are used in certain situations shows just simple contempt. Is that true in the body of Christ? Does the New Testament address it? Words that build up rather than words that tear down? It's all over the place because it's part of our tendency when we rely upon the flesh. You see, we have the Lord Jesus Christ to give us a different way. And the kindness that is involved in the last part of the verse is something we need to consider. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. There's the kindness. No words of reviling, no words of despising. As if you didn't hear it, and you're not going to speak. Sort of like Jesus. When 1 Peter 2:23 says, Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. This is the Lord Jesus actually being in the situation of being reviled. This is the Lord Jesus actually in the situation of having people who are void of wisdom reviling him. And he provided for us the way to get to the second half of the verse. The Lord Jesus provided for us as a community of God's people, as the city that's being delivered, the way to get to the second half of the verse. Because he demonstrated himself to be a man of understanding who held his peace. Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Did you know that anything that you might think about someone or say about them pales in comparison to their standing before a holy God? A holy God who knows every single thought, motive, or action of each person's life throughout the whole course of their life. You couldn't possibly tear down with your words in a way that rivals what God could do. In other words, we're actually all being treated to the treatment that God gives us as he is holding his peace, as he is refraining from showing us all of the ways that he could despise us. And he's done more. He's provided for us Jesus Christ. He's provided for us the life of his Son. He provided for us the one who went to the cross and was despised that we might be set free from him. You see, it's surprising the work of Jesus Christ. It's not only death and resurrection, it's also character building. He gives us wisdom. He gives us his living presence in our midst. How does that apply to verse 13? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And we here at Knox know each other very well. Some of you have known each other longer than the younger ones. Some of you know a great deal about each other. But a talebearer in the Old Testament is in various places connected to someone who wants to hurt, someone who wants to destroy. You see, secrets about people begin to look like sources of power to the unrighteous mind and heart. I can do something. I'm just revealing a prayer request. But there's a great secret involved. A great secret that if you had such a secret, you would not want them to share. And so the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the community of God's people is actually changing the way that we relate to one another, the way that we use our speech. It's moving from destruction to rejoicing because of God's deliverance, through knowledge of his saving power and knowledge of his presence, the blessing of the upright, holding our peace and kindness, and now even concealing those things that would damage someone. That doesn't mean that we don't have the process of speaking about an offense. Matthew 18, going to the person, going to the elders of the church if necessary, all of those things that are taught to us in the Word of God. But it is saying that there's a time when you have an opportunity to destroy or damage by revealing something. And if you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Did you know that every day we wake up in the morning, God is doing that for us? Did you know that there are many secrets about us that God could cover? If you had a Facebook page, all of the character that's involved in having a faithful spirit concealing matters that could destroy is found in Jesus Christ. See, ultimately, what I want you to understand is there's a flow to this passage. There's a flow from those who, because of the fall, because of the sinful character of man, destroy with their mouths. But the just are being delivered through knowledge. The mouth of the wicked can overthrow a city. But there is a time when the wicked are going to perish and there will be shouting. You see, that pattern is even beginning today. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. God's people are a community, a city that is being formed. We are not yet in the visible city that is to come, but we are being formed on the inside. There are actually things that the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst to help us and cause us to grow. And some of that is given to us in these verses. When is it that the Holy Spirit would call upon you to hold your peace, to show kindness when you are tempted to despise? When is it that the Holy Spirit would cause you to conceal a matter that you would otherwise reveal? You see, if we see the destructive nature of being a talebearer, if we see the destructive nature of despising people, if we see how it was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then we recognize all the events. Judas came along in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he used his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to betray him. To betray him. Psalm 55. Jesus Christ was betrayed by an intimate act that could only happen because of the relationship that Judas had with Jesus. You see, when we're in a relationship with someone else, whether they're our neighbor or whether they're part of the community of God's people, whether they're our family, we have access to great blessing and great destruction. And Jesus Christ took that destruction, you see. That destruction was laid upon him so that we might be brought into a different place as a community of God's people. We're heading towards a city that is full of people who show the kindness of God, who show wisdom. And where your sins, your dark secrets, if you are found in Jesus Christ, are hidden away. Buried. Taken as far away from you as the east is from the west. May the Holy Spirit help us to grow, to be more like the Father and the Son and the Spirit in these matters.